For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Here I come. Hey. Rougher than the rest of them. The best of them. Tougher than leather. They don't call me Knuckles. They call me Derek Kramer. And that's Zach Jones over here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This is that song. Okay.
This is that song.
I keep listening to it. I'm like,
oh,
is
yeah.
It?
Yeah,
it is.
Come
yeah,
on.
It is.
Give me a little more juice right there, baby. That. Oh, yeah. That's the stuff. Right there. Give me that smooth jazz from a 2000s video game from the Sega Dreamcast for Knuckles the Echidna's theme song.
It is 10 a.m. on a Tuesday.
You're damn right.
Wall.
And I am excited as hell. Josh matching my energy. Love that on the board.
Draft week.
Oh, forget draft week. I've been here for a long time. I'm a sicko.
Yeah, but you can feel like the long slog to get there and the whole thing. Now that it's quote unquote
every day
I've got
that
the ESPN counter going on now, where it gives everyone's draft needs, their key additions, departures.
Yeah,
it's been going since yesterday.
Yeah.
It started at 89 hours.
So
we're at 57 now.
For the last 2 weeks, every time I've come into this building, it has been a day closer and a day more excitable for me. As simple as that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Once we hit a week, and I was here with Joe for the morning show, like it's real. Joe Kelly and I, we did Saturday, and now I'm back over here today. Like, we're here.
I'm doing an experiment. I want to see if the NFL Network also has a counter. If they don't, well, that's a failure on them.
And they technically do. It's on the bottom, the crawl.
Yeah, but that's just the crawl. No, and that's their mock drafts. Wow.
I do like having mock drafts on the bottom, though. That
okay. I do, okay, but where's Campbell your counter?
Going, Will Campbell going ninth, Charles Davis? Come on. We are in a proper civilized
where's
society.
The countdown? That's dreadful.
Yeah.
That's really not good.
But I think it's also because I think they're also aware that ESPN gets more viewers
is in fact doing that.
Yes.
You don't want to copy them. I get it.
Also, it's Mel Kiper's best available.
Wide receiver edition. Oh, defensive players. I don't like that we're just doing defensive players.
Well, hang on. There's probably a way that they sort it more in particular as well.
Maybe.
But here we are.
It is draft week.
Every
Very
day
excited.
That we're getting closer for it. And I know that for you and me in particular, this is the last time that we really get to dive into it until Thursday. And what's Thursday? Oh, we all know what Thursday is. That's where me, Zach Jones, and Nate Geary are all going to be sitting in this studio and
hoping they make a pick.
Not even that, just waiting like hell until they get to 30. So like, I'm excited now, but by the time like 10 o'clock rolls around, I'm going to be like, this is taking forever. Make it stop.
Well, especially when the teams in the top 10 are taking the entire time on the clock, or really even Tennessee, who it sounds like more and more the reports draft is somewhat quote-unquote starting at four.
If Tennessee takes their entire time to announce that,
they're gonna.
I'm spilling Legos into Roger Goodell's hallway. Because it's not their fault. It's his.
It's, we need to keep this going. We've got advertisements to hit.
Yeah.
Waste the time. We all know it's going to be Cam Ward. Because they do this even with generational prospects where you're quote-unquote tanking for Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck or what have you. We're still going to be waiting. That's the pain of it.
No reason to do that.
The top 10 takes an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And you're like, come on. What is going on here?
Yeah. By that point, I'm probably going to become feral. But, you know, not in a bad way.
We'll see what happens, though. I'm very, very excited. It is draft week, so I always kind of get that new level of juice. I look for every rumor. It's why I mentioned it's looking like the draft might start at 4 because it sounded like Ward at 1 to Tennessee, Travis Hunter 2 to Cleveland. Then the report today was Abdul Carter to the Giants at 3.
Matter of fact, top 5 sounds pretty chalk because you say it starts at 4. New England, they're probably taking Will Campbell.
And if they don't take him, they take Mason Graham. Jacksonville kind of just probably takes the guy that's
takes
left
the
over.
Other. It's gonna like the final four. It's gonna go chalk.
Yeah. So then, does the draft, you know, quote unquote, really start at 6?
The draft really starts at 6 with the Raiders. Do they take Genty? Do they take an offensive lineman?
I want to be Genty so bad, so bad.
Joe brought it up last week on Thursday. Like it makes a lot of sense that it could be Genty because Pete Carroll invests high picks into his teams at running back, and you have Geno Smith for a couple of years here. Why not try to help get him an extra weapon and also whoever they draft next year because they're still going to be bad? It's perfect.
Yeah, but I do like the Genty. I also like it too. And it was
He's also a great talent.
It was the same thing, though, with Jacksonville potentially taking him. I kind of like a trio that they can build. It's not perfect, but it's got really nice pieces. With Jacksonville, it would be Trevor Lawrence, Brian Thomas Jr., and Genty. That's not bad.
Yes.
You go to the Raiders, then you add Genty in there. Geno Smith, Brock Bowers. Bowers, you could argue already, is the best receiving tight end in football. I kind of like those trios.
We did this last year with Sam Laporta. Let's not do it again with Bowers. It was only 1 year.
He's going to have a stunning decrease to not be a top three tight end in football.
No, I know.
By the end of next year.
What I'm saying is we already did this.
But
Laporta did have that decline in production.
A little bit, yep.
So
there's also more weapons on Detroit.
Yes.
With the Raiders, it would be what happened.
I'm just saying the old saying of don't count your chickens till they hatch.
But I like the trios that either one of those two teams
could
have.
As we work in a purely speculative business.
Yes. I like the trios either team could have. They probably have more dire needs at offensive line, both. Or Jacksonville, just straight up defense. But it's hard not to kind of get excited about like what they could look like with Genty. It's not the greatest football move. I heard Mike Dempsey say that earlier today with Jeremy Jones. Maybe not the greatest football move, but it is fun.
Yeah.
And
who doesn't like fun?
Yeah, and as someone that's not rooting for either the Raiders or Jacksonville, I purely care about fun.
Yeah. I think that the top 10 is going to be truly fascinating in the sense of it is going to be a fun time. And if a team, for example, really loves Shedeur Sanders, Carolina is where I also think that the draft actually starts. Because I do think the Raiders take Genty. I do think the Jets take an offensive lineman. And then sitting there at 8, what does Carolina do? Well, there are teams that may want to get up and get Shedeur Sanders in case they think that New Orleans is going to take him. Or if it's Jackson Dart for some reason and I fall out of my chair. They're going to need to jump New Orleans. How do you do it? Carolina.
Carolina could be fun.
Carolina also has a bevy of options in which that they can go for a direction and it not be a bad idea. So there's the other portion of that.
Yeah, they could be a team that they go Jalen Walker, the linebacker edge rusher out of Georgia. You know, they can kind of
they could go Will Johnson.
Yeah, they can kind of go anywhere. New Orleans, though, I thought I saw yesterday maybe was leaning towards not Sanders.
Yep.
So that was sort of interesting to see
because
it felt like Tet is the sort of guy that I see the most with them because they do need that. They got, I think, enough out of Bryce Young to feel good going into this year that, hey, maybe we didn't screw up the pick. He was fun after he came back.
He really was fun when he came back after the benching.
Yeah, it's a shame it took Andy Dalton getting into a car accident to bring him back in. But ultimately, if you're the Panthers, you quote-unquote take the wins where you can get them. It's not a win, but it's also he got put back in and he looked significantly better than he ever did the year and a half he was playing.
You know what would be really fun for the Carolina Panthers at 8? Tyler Warren.
I don't like Tyler Warren at all.
I think that'd be fun because of the fact that he is regarded as such a top-tier tight end prospect.
If they went tight end, I'd like the kid more out of Michigan. Warren just feels like...
Loveland?
Yeah, Warren just feels like he was manufactured targets from Penn State. I know Chris Trapasso, I believe CBS Sports feels the same way about this. But Loveland feels more like the traditional, really good blocking and receiving tight end. Warren feels like the guy they were manufacturing targets, just trying to give him the ball because Penn State's passing game was not very good last year. But even something like that, anything, a weapon, what have you, I think would be good for Carolina. They do need to just add talent. But to your point, the idea of maybe trading down, I wonder who would maybe want to jump up there, though, because the teams that need quarterbacks all are ahead of Carolina outside of New Orleans.
Yes.
And then it gets to Chicago, San Francisco, Dallas, Miami, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Arizona, Cincinnati, Seattle. Carolina might want to trade back, but what are you trading up for? I think that's where
it gets Pittsburgh, for example, they don't have ammunition to get up there.
No, and also if you're Pittsburgh, the moment the Saints don't take a quarterback, if you find out they're not taking one, You stay right there 21. Yeah. And if you really want to, which it seems now with the Aaron Rodgers stuff, is what they're going to do is just sit there and take Sanders, take Dart, whoever you prefer, whatever.
God, would it be hilarious, though, if, like, at 20, Denver flips the pick to, like, the Rams or something?
And the Rams come up?
Yeah. I would – the hilarity that would ensue in this studio would be immense.
It would also feel like the floor finally fell under Pittsburgh. Would take something like that where
good.
A disastrous offseason where they couldn't get a quarterback, couldn't do this, couldn't do that, and then the Rams jump ahead of them to kind of speed run their rebuild at quarterback. And I've said it before, I mean, doing the reverse AFC power
rankings. Mike Tomlin deserves that.
That's my thing. I like Tomlin. I think he's a good coach. I think he's too conservative in what he wants to do. I think he somewhat rests too much on his laurels. And I think the Steeler way kind of gets in the way of that. They're too straight and narrow on what they have to do. There is no flexibility. But I've said it on the reverse AFC power rankings. I think me and you have said it. I know I've said it with Josh during the season when we were talking Steelers. They can't be this forever. There will come a year, whether it be injuries or what have you, where everything falls apart. And they do become that 5-6 win team that we all kind of know is there because of how bad the offense is. All it takes really is a TJ Watt injury in like week 2. And you really wonder what's going to happen.
TJ Watt lost for a while with a torn pec. That team still gets over a 500 record. I don't know if it was just, again, there's some sort of like bag of voodoo magic or pixie dust somewhere.
I think Tomlin's just a good coach. He's too rigid.
Yes, he's too rigid, and that's why I think like that's when I say like he deserves it is because of how rigid he is.
Yeah.
And how conservative he is. The Steelers often do not take chances. Whether it's on-field strategy or draft strategy.
And that's why the Metcalf trade was so stunning.
Yeah.
To add Metcalf to Pickens. And that's why it would be – and that's almost my fear if I'm a Steelers fan, realistically. And you have your Super Bowl, so you know, sit with me here for a minute. But to make that trade and think, probably in that moment, oh, hell, we're changing. We're going in a different direction. This is offensive firepower. Here we go. I mean, it's just going to be go balls all day. This is going to be amazing. And then for Rodgers – I don't think to spurn you, but for you to kind of spurn him and not really have an option. Is it really going to be Mason Rudolph again? And then if something like that happens where the Rams jump ahead of you, just that one pick, like you said, Denver moves back. Because, let's be honest, they maybe want Amarian Hampton, and there's a good chance they can get him at 26. And all of a sudden, they get Dart or Sanders, and you're sitting there going, so it really is going to be Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
And if you're 10-7 again or 9-8 again, are you going to be there with potentially a better draft
class? Sitting there at 19 or 20 again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no better. Like, it is this constant circle that
It's honestly, it's the worst spot to be in sports.
It's the worst spot to be in sports because sometimes you make the playoffs, sometimes you don't, depending on the year.
And when you make the playoffs, it's been blowouts.
It's been blowouts. They have not had a good
showing. It's not fun.
In their last three playoff appearances, they have not had a good showing.
No, every time they get in the playoffs, it's everyone going, oh, who's playing?
Excuse me.
They're
gonna last whoop them. Four.
Yeah, they're going to whoop them. It's going to be embarrassing. And that's the thing. It's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. It's for everyone to watch you and go, you don't belong.
Listen to WGR Sports Radio.
I agree.
But it's literally
you
people going.
You should listen to WGR Sports Radio 550.
But it really is a lot of people just looking at that on national TV, going, "You don't belong." Look what happened to the Ravens and to the Steelers, a team that maybe more than any other organization in the sport prides itself on good, strong defenses. They're run over. They are made to look quote unquote soft.
Yes,
I mean that's what their playoff history has been since, probably a little bit after. Their loss to Super Bowl in Green Bay, because they made playoffs, they'd win games, but they were always second fiddle to New England, and they were always going to finish. I mean, the three B's era, they never make a Super Bowl with that era. Antonio Brown's on the team when they make it in Green Bay, but he's fifth, sixth round pick. He's the rookie, kind of flashy. Yeah, he's kind of the guy yet.
Yeah, but he's not a featured piece yet. Yeah. Nor is Le'Veon Bell on the team, and it's just this. But also, the only time that they've made the Super Bowl with the Patriots' rise, New England got pushed out of their way so that Pittsburgh could stumble on through.
Yep.
Which now is kind of looking like I'll take that tactic for Bills and Chiefs, but
be fun eventually.
You know what?
Yeah, it's just I look at Pittsburgh
at
too,
this
though.
Point. Yeah, I'll take the underhanded tactics.
Yeah, I look at Pittsburgh. A part of me, though, I will tell you, I don't despise the Steelers. They're not the Patriots to me. They're not the Chiefs.
I do.
But I don't like them. Yeah, I don't like them. And I'd love to see them picking in the top five. I'd like to see the Steelers be bad in my lifetime.
No. Ready? If you don't like them, you don't want them near the top five.
Well, no. Matter of fact, I want to see a season where they win three games and I'm watching Steelers fans lose their minds.
No, because I'm fairly certain that it'll be the – I don't want to be mean – it'll be the ones that don't want to think things through. They only see the win totals and that's it.
Right, right.
But the logical ones will go ahead and say, yeah, we've needed this.
Yeah, we've needed a hard reset. Doesn't mean the reset needs to be good, though.
It doesn't mean that it needs to be good, but it also does mean that a lot of them will go, yeah, we saw this coming for 10 years.
Yeah, thank goodness it finally happened.
It finally, thank you, free me from my pain of constantly being mediocre.
The worst part is, though, I think it'd be a half thing because...
Oh, yeah, because they would want to win now again.
No, not even. Tomlin doesn't get fired. It's one bad season, and it'll be it's his first truly bad season ever. We'll keep him going, and there you go. And they'll keep Tomlin, and they'll stay... with Arthur Smith as their OC, the whole thing, they're going to have drama this year. You just know it, especially if Mason Rudolph's their quarterback.
Yeah.
With George Pickens and DK Metcalf, that's going to be... There will be moments where that's exciting, and there will be a month this year where it is just constant drama with the Steelers.
Yes, I will. The thing is that's where I also don't have as much respect for what Mike Tomlin does, because why are his teams constantly riddled with drama?
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. We don't hear anything about this with the Bills, and some of it might be how they construct the roster. They pick players that don't have those kinds of concerns to them. And at some point, after Roethlisberger, Brown, and Bell, it was, oh my God, how did you manage to be a winning team with that three-ring circus? My question becomes, how'd you let it happen at this point?
Yeah.
Because Le'Veon Bell coming out of college was seen as a high-character pick.
Yeah.
So I think it has to do with something of leadership in that locker room. I don't know if they actually believe in Mike Tomlin.
Letting too much go. Yeah, he's maybe not as much of a hard you-know-what as he maybe needs to be.
He's not, because
Ben Roethlisberger did a radio show for years where teammates didn't want him doing it anymore and were open about it. Yeah. And he kept doing it.
And he kept doing it. And he kept throwing teammates under the bus, which is a no-no.
Was it Juju Smith-Schuster or Antonio Brown threw under the bus?
It was Brown that he threw under the
Brown,
bus.
Yeah.
Who then took the high road of all people. In that moment, he did, and said, no, I'm a big boy. I could take the criticism on that. But, all of his former teammates would say it. Hines Ward was you got to stop doing this. Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders, all of them have said that. Sanders immediately, when he signs with the Broncos, says there's the change in leadership is dynamic from Roethlisberger to Manning.
Oof.
So, again, how'd you let it happen? Well, you let your quarterback have too much public power.
Yeah.
And how do you – ready? That's Tomlin saying, yeah, go ahead, I don't care.
The more I see quarterbacks becoming the quote-unquote CEOs –
yeah.
Like, you know, Russell Wilson having his own office, Ben Roethlisberger kind of being allowed to do what he wants. The more just, you're like, that's a bad way to do it. It's a bad way to do it.
Yeah. And I think that it's going to be one of these things where I want them, as long as Tomlin is there, to stay mid forever. Because, again, there was a three-ring circus there. Every three-ring circus, or every circus, needs the ring meter, ring leader, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's Tomlin, always. And it's not like his tactics are worth him being around for. The man punts inside of an opponent's 40.
Watching that playoff game this year was just...
Jeremy framed something about Mike Tomlin saying, like, the man wants a reason to punt the football to you.
It looks like it.
I think it was before the Bills-Steelers wildcard game, actually. But I will never forget it. Like, just pretty much give him a reason to give you the football back.
It looks like it. And my problem, too, is like I do defend him somewhat. I think he is a good football coach.
But I think he is
so rigid and stiff in how he has to do everything that there's a specific way. And it's, you know, and you can argue, too, to a certain extent, too early success. He wins a Super Bowl very early in his career.
With Cowher's team.
But then he makes another one with his group. And from then on, it's been, you know, a downward spiral where you do see guys like Andy Reid have changed pretty aggressively into what they are now with the Chiefs and their dynasty. Where with the Eagles, they had really, really big issues with Tampa Bay.
Tomlin's college teammate has changed.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott has changed from the
guy that was hired in 2017.
He has changed in a shorter amount of time. Like you said, Andy Reid, one of those guys, he had to make these changes.
Mm-hmm. There's only one guy I can think of that like really didn't have to change and kind of kept winning. But you see with his disciples, it's a disaster, and that's Belichick.
And the reason he quote-unquote didn't have to was because he got covered up.
His quarterback
covered up his drafting flaws.
His drafting flaws, but also how he handled personnel. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys basically, I went there to win. I didn't have fun, but I went there to win.
And that's the part of it. It's like, to stay rigid like this, that's why Belichick isn't getting rehired in the NFL to break the record.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's rigid in his ways.
Yeah.
The Tomlin thing, like, I love that they are just hilariously middle of the pack because they deserve it with a coach like that. And until Rooney wants to make a change, that is what his franchise is going to be.
And you know that, hey, making a change, what is he, their fourth head coach ever?
Yeah.
Am I right on that?
And so ready?
Or is
so
it third?
And it's not just the coach at that point. Their rigid ways go back to their entire franchise and how it's run.
Is that their third?
It's their fourth.
Goodness.
And it's hilarious.
In some way, you have to respect it because they have won so much.
But then
it's like, guys, there is a point, though, when the message gets stale and you have to change.
They won so much, but only, what, one of them is recent history?
It's their third. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin.
It's a joke at this point.
Oof.
It is a joke at this point. I'm glad it's catching up to them.
Yeah, their last Super Bowl was in 08. The last time they made the game was in 2010. It's now 15 years ago.
I'm glad that it's catching up to them.
Oh, man. We're getting to a point where kids have never seen the Pittsburgh Steelers in a Super Bowl. We're getting close, baby. We're getting close.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
So, again, I'm glad it's caught up to them. Adapt or die. And death is not finishing with 3 wins. No, death is being in the pit of mediocrity forever.
803-0550, the number to call. It is draft week. Always would love to hear your thoughts where the Bills should go. We've brought up wide receiver, the idea of maybe Luther Burden falling to 30. Defense, of course. We all know I'm a big Kenneth Grant fan. Sometimes he falls to the Bills in mock drafts. Other times he's taken 15 picks before him. I cannot get a straight idea on
You're
that at all.
You're not going to love what I put on the website then.
No, I'm not. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. We are also going to hear from Sal Capaccio at 11:30 as today the Bills will be speaking with the media. Yesterday started phase one of their offseason program. We expect to hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen and general manager Brandon Bean. That's going to start at 12:30, but we'll get a scene setter with Sal at 11:30. Again, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
Well, there are a few things that Ovechkin hasn't done. Not many, but he's never scored overtime game-winning goal in the playoffs.
Really interesting here. He's on the shooting spot on the left wing. The Canadians have Demidov and Laine on the ice. A rookie and a player not known for his defensive play.
The puck is free! And a great chance for Pavelje. Ovechkin scores! Now he has that playoff overtime goal! What else can he do? Washington wins 3-2.
Unbelievable. The fact that it was brought up mere seconds before Ovechkin gets his first playoff overtime game-winning goal is madness.
So Washington wins 3-2 last night. You hear there the OV overtime winner.
I did not know that on the broadcast that happened.
Derek, I'm watching the game. I watch a lot of games on mute. I don't think I've ever really broadcast this. I don't watch a ton of games with the sound on. It's just as I've gotten older, it's just something I'm doing other things while watching, and I'm usually talking with people, so I usually turn the volume down. So I didn't hear that. But in my head as I'm watching the game and Ovi scores, my immediate first thought was, oh, of course it's Ovi. Immediately. And yeah. I thought nothing of it. And I went to bed, the whole thing. I wake up this morning, I'm listening to Joe DiBiase's update, and he brings up that he never had scored an overtime winner in the playoffs until now. I was dumbstruck.
It's madness.
I was like, excuse me? That's got to be wrong. I look it up, the whole thing, and I'm like, no, that's absolutely correct. How does that happen?
That's actually so fun.
I was thrown off of my loop so bad.
But also, it makes some sense. How is it that the most proficient and prolific goal scorer in the National Hockey League's history does not have a playoff overtime game-winning goal? That is because typically what happens in overtime? What's the story about overtime? What's the theme of overtime?
The random guys is the butt goals.
Anyone.
Someone gets tired and then misses an assignment, and someone that shouldn't score scores like Colin Blackwell did last night for the Dallas Stars.
Unlikely here.
Up this Ready? Like made up fictional person.
All right,
Josh.
Enough about Colin Blackwell itself and more about the idea of the unlikely heroes. That is what it is. It's a clap bomb from the blue line that nobody expected from like the likes of like Carl Alsner or something. Mm-hmm. Like that's typically going to get thrown in there too. And also, it's overtime. Guess what? No other goals that are going to happen. Game's over.
Yeah. So, it threw me so much because, yeah, like in my head, I'm like, hey, we spent a whole season on this, the NHL's all-time goal scorer, and yet somehow.
Somehow he adds a new feather to the cap.
Yeah.
That's the part that's cool to me is that with all of his proficiency in goal scoring, somehow he did something new.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Also, real quick on that, though, really bad third period by Washington. They were up 2-0.
Are we surprised?
Very quick, Montreal made that 2-2. I had stopped paying attention to the game. I've been jumping back and forth between basketball and the NHL because I found out
honestly
the first day of the NBA playoffs that actually, now I am going to watch this. It's intense. It's a different game, you know, the whole thing.
Between the two teams, based on their performances in game one,
mm-hmm.
obviously, 7-game series, you would probably confidently say, yeah, Montreal has more potential than Ottawa does right now.
That game won Ottawa.
Josh's face.
Yeah, Easter Day, and watching Toronto have little to no issue.
With a team that swept them, by the way.
I mean, little to no issue. 6-2. Marner has a beauty of a goal. I mean, we had talked about his playoff numbers.
Your Buffalo Sabre?
Oh, I tweeted it out. I just made sure to put in quotations doubtful.
You best believe when I was at that Sabres-Leafs game last week, I let all those Leafs fans know, get used to this. You're going to see him scoring and shooting in Buffalo all the time next year because he's going to be a Sabre.
Yeah, I made a deal with people that day. I was like, hey, Toronto fans, I got a trade for you. You make the Stanley Cup final, we get Mitch Marner. And a lot of them said deal. They also did not hear me say make.
Not win.
They did not hear me say the word make. They heard Stanley Cup final and Toronto and said deal. So
yeah, I can understand that. I can understand
like taking
that.
Candy from a baby.
Or
like I can understand though being like, no, we made it. Cool. We won two playoff series. Fantastic.
We can't afford Marner anyway. Sick.
Yeah, it's all I heard. It's all I heard. They're like, no.
Not that we can't afford him. He just doesn't want to be here
anymore.
No
issues. Yeah, the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, though, was
or they don't want
phenomenal,
him anymore.
Phenomenal, by the way. We had two overtime games. Stars
Love
take
that.
Down the Avalanche in overtime. Then we just mentioned Washington and Montreal. Oilers-Kings
was
insane. Incredible to end the game. With like 4 minutes left, Edmonton's down to pull the goalie. They score twice, Derek.
What's
to make it 5-5.
Like?
And then the
what
moment,
is that like?
The moment they're like, goalie, get back in there, baby. We're heading to overtime. LA's like, sick. Now it's even playing field. You're dead.
Oh, Stuart Skinner's back in net. All right, we could do this.
6-5. And I think they score like a minute 20 left.
That's hilarious.
So it wasn't like last second, and you're just and I they're you know, they're showing the Edmonton fans and you know, celebrating in the plaza, the whole thing. And my immediate head went, that's quick. Like the all the high emotion, scoring two goals in the third to tie it up. Oh, hell yeah, here we go. And nope, done. Doesn't even make it to overtime.
Insane.
Don't even make it to overtime. And then Winnipeg dispatches the Blues 2-1. There's some nasty hits in that game. Namely on Jordan Kyrou. That game was intense. 2-1,
Winnipeg,
it was intense.
Winnipeg does look like a more balanced and nastier roster than in years past.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that they have a legitimate shot this time around.
That was fun. And then we do have four more games tonight in the
NHL. Oh, yeah, baby.
Including, and we mentioned this with Matt Larkin when we spoke with him last week, including one of these games that is just, or sorry, one of these series that is just getting going tonight, that being the Battle of Florida with the Panthers and Tampa Bay. Derek, after them is game three of Minnesota-Vegas.
Mm-mm.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Game two of Minnesota-Vegas.
Yeah. Everyone else is in a game two, but game one tonight for Florida-Tampa. So
immediately following is a game two. What are we doing here?
I feel like it's a little weird that they have one game that's completely out of structure for the entirety of the playoff rounds. And then, ready? There's only three games tomorrow night. Did someone get eliminated? No.
Nope.
It's just how things are.
Oh,
and it does look like, for a decent amount of it, it is, for like throughout the week, we have Wednesday with three games, Thursday with four games, Friday with only three games again. So it's making a little bit less sense, but we're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that, though, by the way. Please, please, make the Stanley Cup playoffs longer. How dare, like, almost sacrilege. How dare you? No. I'm never saying that.
I do get to a point about a month and a half in where I'm like, okay, guys.
I do like, though, every single one of the games yesterday was a one-goal game.
It was they were very close. Two of them went into overtime. One had, you know, late heroics from both teams to make it close.
One-goal games for each of those. You kind of got your blowouts on Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that was, that
well,
is what
it
is.
Well, it may happen again tonight. Maple Leaf Senators, 7:30.
Yeah.
I don't want that series at all. Toronto
which is funny.
Looked comfortable.
Which is funny because, well, hang on. That's where they get you.
They're comfortable. Then they collapse.
Oh, they look good right now. They look dangerous right now. And I do think that they are more defensively sound than in years past, so I'm not totally speaking tongue-in-cheek here. But this is also where it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's not game one, game two, where you worry about the Toronto Maple Leafs, or even game three. It's when they lose their first one,
mm-hmm.
wherever that is. Sometimes it's early in the series. You look at the Montreal series, they lose game one unexpectedly.
Yep.
But then they win three straight. It's games five, game six, game seven. That's where we have to pay attention. Unless Ottawa decides Toronto can't have game five problems if they don't get there.
Yeah, I don't feel good about Ottawa at all.
No.
At all. I was excited for the series, and then I watched the first two periods, and I was like, oh.
You were probably a lot excited because of the fact that they had swept the season series against Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Ottawa, since the trade deadline, has played like a team that should not really be there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that they traded the captain's closest confidant. And it shook
the locker room. But Dylan Cousins.
And it shook the locker room.
Yeah, you do wonder about that. I mean, ultimately, Norris maybe doesn't play the rest of the year with Ottawa because obviously he's dealing with his injury that he's ultimately took away most of his time with Buffalo.
He does deal with the oblique injury, which he says, if this was a playoff chase, he'd be in.
Yeah.
And guess what? If he was in Ottawa, he'd be in.
Well, I mean, but like the regular season push, like maybe he does miss some of those games. But
yeah, but they still are.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the Eastern Conference did not want a playoff spot.
Right.
They're still comfortably making it. The problem is Ottawa went in sliding.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're cold, sometimes you stay cold. That's why they looked out of sorts so badly in game one. Can they rebound? You better hope so, because otherwise this will not be a series. And Toronto will not have its Game 7 nightmares if you can't get there.
They did have a pretty good April, actually. They only lost three times in April. They had a pretty good April. They lost to Buffalo, Columbus, and then Chicago. They had a pretty good April.
Yeah. Two of those teams on that list tells me you had a really good April.
I mean, you beat Tampa, Florida.
Okay, so Columbus, a Florida team that's not trying.
Carolina. It's not a bad April.
So it's what, 4-3? I'm hearing there. Including wins against Florida, who was resting players.
No, they had six wins, three losses.
Okay.
They played a lot in April.
So still, Florida doesn't count to me. Columbus, you went even on a team that doesn't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You lost to Chicago. Got swept by Buffalo.
That's right. That one hurts. It's not a bad April. They don't look good against Toronto.
A team that you swept this year?
Yeah. They looked bad. It was 4-1 after the second, and it never looked comfortable.
Toronto's biggest challenge is not the Ottawa Senators. It is their own mental state if this season gets later.
Mm-hmm.
If Ottawa plays like this, Toronto's biggest weakness is not even going to come take the ice.
Should be fun. That game goes off at 7:30. We do get a bit of an early start tonight, 6 p.m. Devils Hurricanes. That's on ESPN.
The NHL getting some good programming from ESPN here.
Mm-hmm.
6 o'clock, 7:30, 8:30, 11. That's great bracketing and structuring.
It is. I don't love the 11 o'clock just because I'm an East Coast guy, but also
it's the West.
That's the thing. It's the West Coast. It's Minnesota and Vegas, so you know those fans are going to be up to watch that game. We've talked about it. I really wanted to watch this series. I
consider out West if you're a Devils fan, for example, and you live in California for some reason. That game's at what? 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
Am I getting out of work early?
I mean, it's a Tuesday, you know. Hold it down a little bit. I think it's just more like, hey, check up on my phone.
Is the phone streaming ESPN Plus exclusively and you're like hiding in your cubicle?
There we go. Now we're talking.
So there's ways around it. But yes, I do love the 6 o'clock start, but also for hockey fanatics out West, it's not the greatest or most friendly thing. Thursday, when it's day one of the draft, 6:30, 7, 9, 9:30. So they kind of, like TBS takes a couple of the games too. I do find it hilarious that like day one of the NFL draft and ESPN2 is going to have a couple games.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, we know we're secondary programming.
They also make sure to not have a game go off at 8.
Here's my favorite. Only one game of the three on Friday has a television network on it.
On Friday?
Yes, confirmed.
Oh, boy.
And that's Carolina, New Jersey on TBS. LA Edmonton Game 2 and Washington Montreal Game 2 do not have a place yet.
Oh, no. It'll likely be TNT, though, right?
They're figuring it out.
Oh, no.
Oh. TNT during the NBA playoffs? Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, that's right. Yep.
So my guess is they're going to have to find a way to get them onto ESPN2 or something on Friday night.
Oof.
TBS takes all of Saturday, by the way.
Well, Friday the NBA games are on ESPN, and so maybe.
So it's got to be then.
ESPN and NBA TV.
What?
Bucks Pacers NBA TV.
Oh, okay.
At 8 o'clock.
Oh no.
Then Celtics Magic 7 o'clock ESPN 9:30 Lakers Timberwolves ESPN.
On Friday?
On Friday.
I'm sorry, we have a draft to do.
It's what my phone's saying. I'm just saying. It's interesting.
We have work to do on Friday. What are they doing?
NFL Network. Here we go.
Get out of my way. Yeah, so that's kind of fascinating that Friday they don't know where to put these games.
But it is because like it, the sports calendar kind of very rapidly got very busy for about a week. It's going to be very, very busy.
So Brian Colesiel and I on Saturday, we mentioned this, and I say one day I hope that Alan Davis, our program director, has a difficult decision to make about the draft.
I've thought about it too.
If the Sabres make the playoffs and say they are where like they're a team that needs to play on a Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
man, it would be nice to have difficult decisions, wouldn't it? I would be happy that I'm not making them.
But it would be nice to have said decisions.
Yes.
Be real nice. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join the show. Talking NHL, NBA playoffs, NFL draft as well. We'll be joined by Sal Capaccio at 11:30. But before we hit our next time out, I do want to remind you to join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Again, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and this is WGR.
And now the Flyers will pick it up and bring it back. Ooh, what a hit by Campbell! Holy mackerel! Campbell stepped into his check in the blue line. Now they're all chasing after Campbell. Brian Campbell leveled his check at the blue line.
Now that was Umberger. And he had his head down big time. And Brian Campbell ran over him like a Greyhound bus.
Like a Greyhound bus.
Like everyone remembers how iconic RJ is. Jim Lorenz does not get enough love.
That's the first time in a long time I've heard that highlight all the way through.
Yeah.
Because, like, I reacted to the Greyhound bus hit like it was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that part.
I'm also here for the Jim Lorenz supremacy.
Oh, it's fun. That's fun.
What do you mean, what? Why supremacy? That's the word. He is supreme.
Josh, is that 19-year anniversary for this
hit? That is April 22nd, 2006. Where were you? I was in bed because it was overtime.
Oh, my back hurts now. I think it was 8. No, I was 7. I was turning 8 later.
Right. So you were also likely in bed because it was overtime. Like means we had school the next day.
Likely in bed.
I'm going to go grab like some ibuprofen.
That hurt you,
didn't
it?
I'll be back.
That one hurt you.
Yeah, no, like right in the back. It hurts. I'll be back.
I would argue that's maybe the highlight I've seen the most for the Sabres. And I think it's by quite a margin.
And the funny thing is even the national broadcast also slaps on that
yep,
hit.
Yep.
It is because of the fact that the play is so like, oh boy.
Yep.
And nowadays, like, actually, how much different is it? Because the response was as it normally would have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Campbell steps up and then everyone flocks to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, we mentioned it in Winnipeg last night. There was a hit on Jordan Kyrou that was not as similar, but it was a hard hit. And there was a reaction to it.
Yeah, there's a reaction to even clean hits these days.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like...
any big hit, clean or dirty, is going to get a reaction.
If that happened, if we were in these chairs and the game was happening in present day,
mm-hmm.
we're probably talking about, is Brian Campbell getting suspended?
Oh, yes.
Like, that's probably a topic of discussion for the morning.
The immediate excitement is then going, oh, crap, we lost Campbell.
We might not have Campbell for a game.
Yeah,
one playoff game kind of sets the tone.
And I think that it's a good point. I haven't really thought about this that much. I'm glad that hit happened when it did, because if it happens today...
You probably lose him for a game.
And the excitement of the hit and the play and the call, everything is decreased.
Yes.
I'd even wonder if RJ calls it the same if he was calling it today, somewhat knowing...
There might be a suspension.
A suspension would likely follow a hit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Never met the man. Maybe he calls it the exact same regardless. I don't know. But knowing the league now, you maybe get the, oh no, that's, yeah, all right, yeah, he's going to be gone, okay? Yep. And it quickly dissolves where we hear in the clip, I mean, that goes on for a while. And, yeah, I think it's maybe the Sabres highlight I've seen the most. Just on Twitter, on YouTube, what have you. I think it's the Sabres highlight I've seen the most.
And it makes sense because like that was the last time they had a successful playoff. Well, not the last time, but like it was part of the two-year span where they had the most successful playoff runs that they had had mm-hmm. in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never gotten to that level of success since then.
Yep.
Hey, by the way, this isn't for you. This is for everyone else out there.
Listen all week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the 5th annual Micah High Charity softball game at Salem Field on Sunday, May 4th. Ooh, Star Wars Day. As your favorite offensive and defensive players play against each other to benefit the Imagine Youth Foundation, tickets are on sale at HideCharitySoftball.com. We'll come back, and Zach and I have a fun little exercise. We're going to do a joint mock draft where we're controlling all 32 picks in the first round. So stay tuned for that.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I should have said it. I only mock draft with Forklift Simulator music, but
we're down to the nitty gritty now.
We're not. It's business. It's business. It's also the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer and Zach Jones here with you. Hour number two. Sal Capaccio coming up in about a half hour with us. But more importantly,
mm-hmm.
It's time to do the dual mock draft.
Yeah, we had to move seats because we're doing it on one computer.
If we had cameras, this would look hilarious right now.
This would look good. Actually, we were able to make it work last Friday with Nate and Joe in here, and then Mike was sitting right next to him in your spot. Yeah. We were able to make it work. It looked good.
But there was someone also sitting there in the other seat, probably.
Yeah, but you would get this camera right here. I'd get the one in the corner.
Yeah.
And then
the wide shot would get all of us.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the fact that there is no one sitting in the other primary mic.
That's fine.
You have moved locations.
Turn the mic off, or turn the camera off. We're good.
To be next to me.
Yeah.
So we could do this and run it on the same machine.
All right, let's go. I'm ready.
All right, so do we do a rock, paper, scissors for who starts it and who gets, or do you want it who starts it and gets the odd numbers, or even, and then they get the Bills? Do you have a preference, or am I fighting you for it?
No, I have no preference.
All right, I didn't get to pick the Bills last time.
Cool.
Because Joe Callie and I did this on Saturday.
Okay.
And I started the draft. Now you have that responsibility with the Tennessee Titans at number one.
Sounds good. Cam Ward.
All right, the easy one is easy. We're done here. Cam Ward going number one overall. Let's keep things simple. Even though it's the Browns and I have an idea, like there's a non-zero chance they screw this up.
Mm-hmm.
Screwing up means not taking Travis Hunter.
I agree.
By the way.
I agree.
I don't think they'll screw this up, or at least I'm not if I'm Andrew Berry. I take Travis Hunter.
As a fan, it's maybe my least favorite outcome. But if you're the Browns, just take the most talented player.
But also at the same time, he ends up in with the Giants, and is it that much better right now?
No, but in my head, the Giants can easily be forced onto primetime where you'll see Hunter. Cleveland, when they're bad,
you could
very quickly take them off of primetime. And I don't want to like just miss out on Travis Hunter being great for like 2-3 years because they're bad.
Aesthetically, the Giants uniforms also kind of stink.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I do like the throwback uniforms.
Where they have like the old font?
Yeah, I like those a lot.
Yeah, the problem is that that's not their primary.
That's right, that's right.
So
yeah, the new ones I don't love that much.
No, they're actually bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that their current logo.
On to the Giants now at three. I would like Hunter here, as I've said. I'll go with Abdul Carter. That does seem to be the report that they're leaning that way. Best edge rusher in the class. If his injuries are not as bad as it appears, it'd be a great pickup for them.
Yeah, and we've said it already. We said it in the first segment. This is going to go chalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be a hypocrite if we didn't do that to start out. Number four, Patriots, Will Campbell, offensive tackle out of LSU.
And as we talked, then Jacksonville takes the other guy that's available. That's Mason Graham out of Michigan, sort of the Batman to Kenneth Grant's Robin. Although
like
didn't
that,
have a, I didn't know this either until I heard Mike Dempsey on earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Hasn't had a sack since October, so he went a while in the college season without a sack. I think he's still a really good player.
Yep.
I think a bit of short arms, you know, that you don't love for a defensive tackle, but a very, very good prospect.
All right, so number six is where we said that things are going to start getting a little spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still taking Ashton Jeanty.
Okay.
Because when it comes down to it, where the Raiders pick in the second round, a corner will be available. And yes, running back would too, but the cliff between them is a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
From Jeanty to whoever would be available for them early in round two.
Yeah.
Versus what Will Johnson would be compared to, say, like a Siobhan Revelle or a Benjamin Morrison available there.
Right. I will go with the Jets. Armand Membo, I believe is how you say his name, out of Missouri. He's a tackle.
Yeah, Membo's pretty much the heavy favorite to go there unless the Raiders take him first.
I think if the Raiders take him first or if there's a I could see Aaron Glenn maybe wanting to build through the trenches. I like the defensive line already, though. I think maybe adding a Jalen Walker wouldn't really make a ton of sense there, and that's where let's build up the old line, worry about quarterback next year, or even see what you can get out of Justin Fields this year.
Welcome to the true fascination of the draft. It's pick 8. It's Carolina. If New Orleans has whispers of wanting to take Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart, now would be the time for a trade. However, Carolina also is interesting in a way because there are so many different ways that they can go about this. I, for one, am going to have them taking Will Johnson. I think that there's an opportunity to take someone who would be the best player available on many boards. Do it. So Will Johnson, Carolina at 8.
See, and that would be the pick I'd go with New Orleans here. Mm-hmm. I would go Will Johnson. Now it kind of becomes interesting. I'm choosing to believe they're not going to go for Shedeur Sanders. So I'll go with who I think is maybe the best defensive player left on the board. And I mentioned him maybe for the Jets if they really wanted to. And I don't think it makes sense. But Jalen Walker here for New Orleans. Just add talent. Try to get better there.
Interesting. Because I'm thinking of the fact that like maybe they want to reset their core and they might trade Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. And Tet McMillan is available there. I would think that is also a good option.
I think if they take Tet McMillan, I think Olave's already been traded.
Okay.
So I think that's the thing is if we go into draft day, which it doesn't have to be during the draft these trades happen. We've had them happen a few hours beforehand. What happened? If that happens, I'd absolutely take Tet there and move on. But for this, I'm assuming Olave's still on the team and they just want to get the best talent available. I really like Walker.
All right, so when it comes to it, the Bears, I'm punching air because I would have loved to have Jalen Walker.
Yeah,
there.
He is a player I think the Bears are quietly, desperately hoping is there.
Yes, and instead we can pivot to offensive line. Kelvin Banks from Texas at number 10 there. And now on to 11, it's San Fran.
San Fran is interesting.
There are a lot of ways that they can go.
I'm looking at a guy like Shamar Stewart. Mike Green, maybe. He's weird. I thought I saw a report. He hasn't had a top 30 visit at all in this process. I don't know if that's true.
Green,
yeah. I don't know
if
that's
like
true.
That can't be right.
But it has quieted down since the combine for him. Shamar Stewart might be a perfect guy, though, for the 49ers who can develop him, get the most out of those athletic traits. His athletic traits are a top 10 pick. His production at A&M
is
gonna not.
I was going to say, his production is a real concern there. So is it Stewart, though, at 11? Or are you still weighing your options?
I'll go Stewart.
All right. So San Fran taking Shamar Stewart there. Dallas, this is where things can get kind of spicy.
I know where I'd go if I were them.
Where would you go?
McMillan.
That makes sense.
I'd go McMillan. If Genty was there, I think they would go Genty.
Yes.
With McMillan there and him being, the next offensive player to go, I like that idea.
Yeah, and it makes too much sense that McMillan could be one of the picks here. I'm going to go ahead and make things more interesting. I'm taking Mykel Williams out of Georgia.
Okay.
Edge rusher still allows you a little bit of like Micah Parsons insurance in case they don't sign him.
Yep. So I'm up with the Dolphins. I heard Greg Cosell talking, I want to say 2 days ago on the Ross Tucker podcast, talking about Nick Emmanuel, thinking him of as a Holland replacement. I'm going to go with, I would argue, the safer pick at safety with Malachi Starks.
All right, so you're saying that they're taking a safety at 13?
I think they are going to take a safety, and I'm going the safer option there for them. I love Emmanuel's physical traits, but I think there's a reason why he might be available in the 20s with those kind of physical traits.
Right.
There's some great tape on him. There's also some really, really bad tape.
Okay.
And I think if you're Miami, take the quote-unquote safer option. You've got to build that defense out. It's not a bad idea to go to the SEC.
So now we're at pick 14. Some names that are already projected to have gone sooner are not. Tet McMillan being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Shedeur Sanders is going to start to fall. That's going to cause some intrigue in this as well. I'm going to have the Colts taking Tyler Warren.
Yeah, that's where I would have gone to.
Yeah, it makes too much sense. That's one of their big needs.
I like Loveland better. I think maybe NFL teams like Warren more.
Yeah. All right, so Atlanta, 15, Zach.
Atlanta. Oh, boy. Where do they go?
A lot of options.
I like what London's become. They still have Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. Tet probably doesn't make a lot of sense here. And they are bad in terms of pass rush.
Yes.
I think this is a team
sort of in that same vein of Chicago desperately wanting Jalen Walker there. I think Atlanta seeing Mike Green on the board. This might
run
be
the card.
Yeah, the this might be the first pick of the draft where everyone, like, they come up on, immediately on like the screen, and immediately after pick is in.
2 minutes later, and it's literally because pick they needed to take 2 minutes to write it on the card
and then call people. Yeah, yep. I think Mike Green out of Marshall's is where they're going to go there.
All right, Arizona at 16. A lot of players falling that could be interesting here, like Tech McMillan, for example. There, I think that fall for McMillan continues a little unexpectedly here, because I'm going to have the Cardinals taking Derek Harmon out of Oregon, defensive tackle.
Okay.
So, for those that like a big player, a defensive tackle, there are whispers that Harmon's stock is falling because of injury concerns or health concerns. Again, you don't always have to believe everything that is said at this time of year. But yes, I'm going to say, if you wanted defensive tackles, the first one's off the board for the Bills that you would have liked to be able to acquire.
I'm going to go another one for the Bengals. I'm more just thinking best defensive player available. You know, you look at a guy like a Jahdae Barron, stuff like that. I'll go with maybe the highest upside at the position available right now. I don't want to say maybe highest upside. I like him better for the Bengals than I would say for the Bills, and that's Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle at Ole Miss. A little bit smaller. I see it from everybody. His main comparison is Ed Oliver, and I don't think that's good for the Bills. That's why I've basically never talked about Walter Nolan.
He's kind of why I've written him off, too.
Yep. But I think Cincinnati, you need to get better on defense. You fired a defensive coordinator. You're a disaster there. Get better on the line, and that can maybe kind of branch out. But I think they're going to go defense a lot in the draft.
Yes. And, Josh, don't forget, morning show segment, Derek wants fat guys from Thursday. So, yeah, Walter Nolan kind of off my list because there's not a three in that 100.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the 200s. It's close, but like it's not in the 300s.
An unbelievable athlete, but it's tough with the fit for the Bills.
Exactly. It's a fit thing, less than or more so than anything else. Ted McMillan has fallen to the Seahawks at 18, and here comes 100%. Another sprint to the podium.
100%. Yep. They got to replace DK Metcalf. I like Ted McMillan. He's not the receiver I will ever kind of root for. I don't love the 6'5 lengthy guys. He's a bit faster than I would have assumed.
Yes.
But usually I like receivers that are in the Diggs mold or like Malik Nabers, where the highest, the tallest are going to be is like 6'2. You know, that's usually what I like. I'm more tactician route runners.
All right. So, pick 19, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay, so who are you picking on defense? Because what do the Buccaneers really need on the offensive side of the ball?
That's what I'm thinking. I don't know their lineup intimately, so I don't want to take a player that they necessarily really don't need.
Here's the good news. Any defensive player, it's a good pick.
I'm going to go Jahdae Barron out of Texas. There's maybe some fears for him that he really can only be a slot corner.
But he would also be one of the best to do it.
Yeah, I love him as a prospect. He was amazing at Texas last year, a little bit older, but I think it works for him.
All right, so the Broncos sitting here at pick 20. Matthew Golden is available. Colson Loveland is here.
Personally, I know this is not my pick. I'd go Loveland. I think I'd go Loveland.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm part of the even teams. Yep. I'm calling myself.
Are you going to do the Rams trade?
I'm going to do the Rams trade. I called it shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of it,
it's really rude.
I'm having fun with this.
Look, I mean, ultimately, you know, the big talking point for this draft up to this point, or the last 2 weeks, I guess, would be that everyone is staying at their pick. No one is doing the pre-draft trades. Nobody. So I do wonder if we'd keep waiting, especially how our board has fallen. I think a lot of teams would maybe just be sitting there, maybe frustrated that a player went before them.
So six picks up the first round, I'm going to imagine it's going to cost 85.
Yeah.
Or not 85, pick 90 for the Rams.
Oh, okay.
So, that means the Rams don't pick until 101.
Ooh.
So I'm hanging up the phone.
Yeah. So Denver, I think then you take Loveland. I mean, you number one, I think that's...
I'm taking Loveland, absolutely. Yeah.
Ultimately, Denver needs to get more playmakers on offense.
Yes,
it's not a bad idea for them.
Also, to remind you that at this point, trades are going to be possibilities.
Yep.
But here's Pittsburgh at 21, and I know you're not picking up any phones right now.
No, Pittsburgh, I think this is another one of those, thank goodness he fell, Shedeur Sanders. They need a quarterback. I think they've absolutely moved off of the Aaron Rodgers train. His interview with Pat McAfee did not fill me with a ton of confidence. If I'm a Steelers fan, that's going to happen anytime soon. Get this done. You know, maybe he competes with Mason Rudolph. Maybe he plays early. You have two really good receivers around him. Maybe not, you know, a young offensive line. I don't want to say a good one, but a young one that you can maybe build something around this. But you need to get a better quarterback. Your division is loaded at the position.
Yes.
Not Cleveland. But still, when you have Burrow and Lamar there, it's loaded.
Yeah, there's already a problem with half the teams there.
I think it's an easy pick for the Chargers as well.
Yeah, Matthew Golden is available. Wide receiver is something that the Chargers could use a little bit more firepower in.
Love Ladd McConkey for him last year. And you know what? Honestly, I think Golden maybe fits the Chargers perfectly. I don't really see him as number one in the NFL. I like what he does. I don't see him as number one. But Ladd has kind of shown he might be a one for them.
He might be
the guy. You add Najee Harris in there. Herbert's good. It's the year two of Harbaugh. Then you throw Matthew Golden in there. It's not a bad offense to get behind.
I mean, that said, I might have doubts now after I made the pick because it's a Greg Roman offense.
Yeah, but
it
still needs to happen.
Packers, 23.
Ooh, Packers, 23.
There's a couple of ways they can go, and they might be a team that might take one of these big boys as well.
They might be. Who do you got available on the board for some of these big guys? I mean, James Pierce, does the fall continue for him? Not, you know, I don't see Kenneth Grant going yet. That's my thing, is I don't really have a good read on where Grant could go.
Right.
Because it's been so up and down. Do I take a pass rusher, the guy at Boston College whose last name I cannot pronounce?
Isaraku.
Isaraku.
Or at least that's the best stab I'm giving at it.
He's got a lot of potential. I think he was ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, we'll go there. Yeah, Isaraku.
Donovan Isaraku from Boston College going to the Pack at 23. Number 24.
I could totally see the Minnesota Vikings wanting to trade back.
This is also not just a trade back, but this is also where my heart breaks. Nick Emmanuel.
Maybe the best defensive player on the board. Maybe the best potential of any player left that could go in the first round would be Emmanuel.
And if there's
Emmanuel
a team that could take a player like that, it would right now be Minnesota with their sound roster structure.
Yeah, it's sound roster structure. They're getting a lot out of that defense with Flores last year. And that's the thing, too. They're getting a lot of the defense that maybe didn't have a ton of named guys. It was a lot of, you know, that maybe similar to a Buffalo Bills defense of the past few years. Not a ton of names, but great production. You add just a quote-unquote blue-chip kind of player. It's not bad.
All right, so Houston, 25.
They need offensive line help, and I'm going to go with the guy at North Dakota State. I think Greg Zabel.
Gray Zabel, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go him. I like also the idea of a Josh Simmons. He's not going to play this year, it feels like.
Okay.
And Houston needs help now. And he's a big boy at North Dakota State. It's never a bad idea.
The Rams I might see as a team that might want to trade back as well because they only have those two picks.
They don't have a lot.
They have 26 and 90.
they do not have a lot.
So maybe this is an opportunity to add a third rounder.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, who's calling?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's calling right now because if you're a team like Cleveland who maybe wants to take Dart or what have you, there's no one really in front of you that you're worried about necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're New York, for example, maybe you're thinking about it.
Maybe you're thinking about it, but if I'm the Browns, you didn't take Shadur early. Am I really that worried you're going to jump up to take Dart?
Hang on.
You had your shot and you didn't take it.
Hang on. I have the way it's going to work. Are you ready? So the Giants are going to make this trade. They are 34. They're an even team, so I do have the rights.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in order to get 26, I'm going to throw 99 at them. And it's probably going to be enough.
Okay.
Maybe I'll add in like 154 for like a nice little like a pick swap. I'll drop to 190.
Okay.
And the reason I'm doing this is I managed to reject my own proposal. So it's going to cost more, but I like this. I like that it's going to cost more. Let's get spicy.
This would feel like a move, though. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are attempting to save their jobs. We need a young quarterback. You need something there that can maybe convince ownership. Yeah. Hey, give us more than 1 year. My problem is it would feel like the Bears.
I would love to override this.
Rams are staying?
I would love to override it, but it's not working.
Yeah, Rams are staying.
Rams seem like they're staying, and apparently we're staying. Why are they staying, though, is the question. I'm going to guess Jahad Campbell.
Okay.
But I would think this is perfect for the Giants to move up with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is, you're going to get in front of teams that might be more willing to trade back.
Yeah.
And also, the Rams, they can take their time.
Yep.
if they wanted to.
Baltimore. Ooh, where do they go here? I'm going to go they take best player available and hope their culture helps them. James Pierce.
Oh, edge rusher out of Tennessee.
Just best player available. I think the best traits you could get right here. And you just let it fly.
So, for those keeping tabs at home, or if you're not, don't worry. I've got you here. Some of the defensive players that are available, Kenneth Grant, Trey Amos, Siobhan Revell, Maxwell Hairston, being plenty of players that you can look at on the defensive side of the football. Amika Egbuka of Ohio State is still hanging around, actually.
It's the same, though, I would go with New Orleans, the idea of, you know, I'm assuming Chris Olave is still on their team until he's not. I'm assuming Jameson Williams is still on their team until he's not.
Yep.
I think they would just go defense purely off of they saw what happened to their year last year when they didn't have anybody left.
Yes.
And I could see them going there. Cornerback, I think, is absolutely a potential
need
for them.
And I am going to upset a lot of Bills fans right now with Trey Amos being the pick to Detroit at 28. So here we are, pick 29. With the Washington Commanders right before the Bills at 30.
I think Washington's going defense as well. I really like where their offense is at. They add Debo Samuel as well. Really, the question is, you know, who do they take?
I'm starting to think this is where a run on corners might begin.
I think a run on corners could go here. They also could add on the defensive line. They are completely rebuilding that from a few years ago, although I don't really think they need defensive tackle help necessarily.
No, they don't.
Because
really.
That's a big reason why they were going to get it wasn't Payne who went on the quote-unquote trade block for them. Blank on his name. Regardless, it's not defensive tackle. I'd maybe go cornerback here.
The question is who? Is it Hairston?
I personally like Hairston more at this spot.
All right, so then that leaves me at pick 30 with the Bills. What do we have available? We have a couple edge rushers like Nick Scorton or Landon Jackson, Kenneth Grant at defensive tackle, Tyreek Williams, Darius Alexander.
You know where I'm going.
I know where you're going, but I'm the one that has the Bills control here, mister. And at safety, I don't love what I've got there.
Nope.
Azaray Thomas is also available as a cornerback available in this area. And it just becomes a matter of what flavor do I go with here? But also, Egbuka is available from Ohio State at wide receiver.
I don't love Emeka Egbuka. A lot of it is his production at Ohio State, and he kind of comes off as more he would be a slot guy. This is an interesting case study, though, where there was a run on corners.
Because it's Egbuka or Burden.
And that's the thing, is there was a run on corners, but now it's Kenneth Grant, Luther Burden. Do you want to force the corner pick? There's a lot of options they could go. I think trading back is not... You know what?
Let's fulfill the prophecy, because we got to get going. We'll take Kenneth Grant.
All right.
Kenneth Grant.
Hell yeah,
how
baby.
It started with the beef wagon ends with the beef wagon.
I'd be thrilled with this pick.
All right, really would. Kansas City.
Offensive lineman, whoever. Whoever's the best offensive lineman available.
Josh Simmons or Tyler Booker, probably your guys. Booker should be a top 20 pick, but his position is guard.
Yeah. So do they go Josh Simmons and hope that they can just survive?
I think they're going to go with Booker.
Okay. And try to just work around it.
Even though you're supposed to be the one making the
pick. No, but
we got to go because we got to get to Sal Capaccio. Yep. And Eagles, you know what? We'll give him an edge rusher, Nick Scorton. Make it all happen.
How he's done it again.
All right. So, by the way, on Thursday night, as we're mocking this, you could be heading out to Resurgence Brewing with Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase for the ultimate draft night party on Thursday, April 24th at 7 p.m. Tickets are $45. They include pizza, all you can drink beer and well drinks as well. Enjoy live analysis, huge TVs, crystal clear sound, so you don't miss a pick. Maybe even hear from us at the station with the broadcast. Plus, there's local vendors there, including Paula's Donuts, giveaways all night, including an all-inclusive fantasy football party for 12 at Resurgence Brewing, courtesy of Resurgence. For the giveaways, there's no purchase necessary. But if you want tickets to the draft party, get them at resurgencebrewing.com.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show right here on WGR. Get ready for a draft night, day number 2 on April 25th at Wayland Brewing Company in Orchard Park, and join us at the Ultimate Draft Party from 7 to 10 p.m. hosted by Jeremy and Joe. Test your knowledge with 5 rounds of trivia for awesome prizes, courtesy of Wayland, plus a special themed menu. Don't miss this party. Visit WGR550.com for details. We are 2 days away from the start of the NFL draft on Thursday over in Green Bay, but the Bills aren't just worried about the draft. They've also got phase one of their offseason program underway. And with that, we do join Sal Capaccio as not only that, we're going to hear from some people as well, too. So, Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning to you as well. Yeah, down here in the media room at One Bills Drive. And we will hear from Josh Allen at 12:30 p.m. today on phase one of offseason workouts, his offseason. Obviously, Josh, we know he got engaged last year. I think he expected to be married this offseason. Might come up, but either way, we'll talk about the offseason and obviously the Bills returning. And then Brandon Bean is scheduled to speak with us here at 2 p.m., and that will be more focused on, obviously, the draft. It's his pre-draft press conference leading up till Thursday night and the first round here where I'll be again for the Buffalo Bills draft.
I need Josh Allen's review of Sinners, his fiance's new movie that just came out. Great things. I'm going tonight. I need his review.
You're going tonight, huh?
I am going tonight. I'm wrapping up my show, and I'm going at 8:30. I'm pretty excited.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Well, who knows? That could very well come up today. But you know, it's always interesting. I did the math the other day. It was the day they started yesterday. It would have been 85 days from the time that they were last on the field in Kansas City for the AFC Championship game till they started off-season workouts, 85 days. And if you go to another 85 days, you're about a week before training camp. So we're really kind of right now, this week, at the midway point of the off-season, I guess, essentially.
I'm glad you said that because you're saying 85 days. I'm like, yeah, it really was not that long ago that they were playing a football game and we were all here working it, and now it's the off-season workout program. So it's nice to hear that 85 days from then, it will then be, you know, a few days before training camp. It you know, the off-season's not flying by for any of us. It doesn't at least feel like.
No, I agree. It's, you know, sometimes I guess the days can be long, but, you know, the time itself kind of flies by. We all get into that, and then before you know it, we're talking about OTAs and mini camps. Now, let's remember that's not happening right now. When you say off-season program, just to refresh everybody, it's phase one. Phase one is they can do some dead ball activities, throwing a ball to a quarterback, wide receiver, but they can't actually do normal football stuff. That doesn't happen until really phase two, a little bit more of that, and then phase three, that's when you get more of your actual football plays and OTAs. Mini camp is going to take place from June 10th through June 12th, 3 days of mini camp. So you have a few weeks here of right now, phase one, which is honestly just conditioning. There's no coaches, position coaches, football coaches allowed in the field. It's just strength and conditioning coaches, weight room, rehab, things like that going on right now through this time period. And I know over the years what we've heard from players is it's a lot of competition that goes on, right? Offense against defensive guys or lineman against lineman where they're doing like different kinds of things and who can, you know, I guess remember when we were in school, we ran the pacer tests and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's exactly that, but you get my point.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Western Hotline. As you mentioned, Sal, Brandon Bean speaking at about 2 o'clock here today as well. And I wonder what he's going to talk about, Sal. There's only something going on Thursday night where you've professed, or theorized, I should say, that the Bills should be going defense all three of these picks within their first three selections at 30 and then twice again in the second round. Have you backed down at all from that stance?
No, I still think it's defense, defense, defense. The first three picks. Would it stun me? Could I be wrong? Sure. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and I don't know exactly what their board looks like.
Yep.
If some really excellent wide receiver falls down and he's sitting there at 56, they're like, oh my God, we just got to take him. It's too much value. Sure, that can happen. I think boards change all the, things like that change all the time when you're in the draft room. But to me, I think that the way this roster looks, the way this team is built, right now and what they're staring at, to me, it's defense, defense, defense and days one and two. And I still think that's probably heavier defensive line, a couple of those maybe, and then a corner. I think you'll get a corner in one of those picks. I don't know if it'll be the first pick. I think I'm leaning more, to me, it's defensive line, probably heavier. Pick one, and then we'll see where it goes. But overall, it's defense, defense, defense for me.
Yeah, Sal, me and Derek, we just did kind of a joint mock draft. We went back and forth between picks.
I know fun exercise,
yeah, by the way. I know you did this over the weekend, too. And very quickly, I mean, there was kind of a sudden run on corners, and it very quickly, Bills at 30, it was like, okay, I'm Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle, and you worry about corner, maybe later on in round two, which is not a bad thing. I mean, guys like Siobhan Revell were still on the board. I though, going into that, I've kind of been more on the idea of maybe corner was, quote-unquote, the more desperate need. But, I mean, I've been a Kenneth Grant guy kind of since the Senior Bowl in around that period. I think there's a ton of ways the Bills can go. I know Mike talked about it last week during our draft special where it might be an easy way for the Bills to be, you know, quote-unquote winners in the draft. But I think the way this draft is set up and what the Bills' needs are, yeah, I think there's only a few scenarios where I think they could screw this up, you know, essentially.
Yeah, listen, I think you could easily look at the roster yourself as a fan, as a media member, and go, you know what, they really still need a corner opposite Christian Benford. And I don't doubt that. I don't disagree with that. But they did bring back Dane mm-hmm. Jackson. They did bring back Tre'Davious White. I think that raises the floor of the depth, and it allows you at least to maybe not have to rush at that position. Are one of those guys a starter? I'm not sure. Is it a guy who they draft in the first three rounds? Could very well be a guy that they draft and winds up. I mean, Christian Benford started. He's a sixth-round pick, right? So we all know that that can happen. But I do think that bringing back guys who know the system, they're familiar with, and they feel comfortable with on their roster kind of points you in the direction of, I don't think that they have to have such desperation to go in that route versus look at defensive tackle, guys. I mean, they play four guys, right? I mean, that's what they do. All four guys can kind of be considered starters when you have guys active on game day at that position. To me, they're all starters because they rotate so much. They only have four on the roster right now, and mm-hmm. one of his name is Zion Loke. I mean, Ogunjobi, too, but he's suspended. So really, only three guys to me are lock 53-man players. So that leaves essentially a starting position open at defensive tackle.
And Sal, when I look at this Bills defense, you know, this team has actually really gotten hurt by long-term injuries at a number of star players, Matt Milano, Trey White, of course. But Daquan Jones, when he was on the field and healthy, you saw how good Ed Oliver could be, especially as a pass rusher. Just two seasons ago, 9.5 sacks from the defensive tackle position. And that's why me and Derek have kind of been on this we've called it the beef wagon, just get big guys in the middle of the defense. I want to see what him and Rousseau and, you know, Bosa now maybe kind of coming in a rotation sense because of his health. I just want to know what that defensive line could look like. I think there's a great player in Ed Oliver. He just needs a really good Robin next to him, and I'd love to see what Rousseau looks like if Ed Oliver's able to kind of eat and maybe eat up some more double teams.
I don't disagree with you at all. I agree with that. I think the Bills even agree, which is like they need a guy kind of to help out Ed Oliver to get the most from what his skill set is. Look, I think the Bills like Daquan Jones, but he clearly was not the same player last year as he had been previous to the injury in 2023 in London. And he's going to be, to me, a part of their rotation, but I think they need to upgrade from him and get younger at the same time. And that's why I still point more towards defensive tackle as more likely. I would say, though, I do think edge is still an interesting spot that they mm-hmm. could go. I wouldn't discount it. You know, if they feel like there's a guy that can really get after the passer, I mean, that's obviously very key, especially in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. Think about the players and the teams you face and how important it is to get to the quarterback. I do think that, you know, edge comes into play possibly for something like that. But I agree along the lines of, if you could give me the exact specific type and if I could pick what I think the Bills want, I think it's a more of a anchoring, kind of run stuffing, one technique defensive tackle to kind of be able to play in the middle there. I think that's the dream scenario if a guy high enough on their board is there.
Sal, I'd imagine we've got the Capaccio mock draft coming out on Thursday.
Yes, I always do one.
Do we have a way to?
I was doing it last night, actually. I was actually working on it.
Yep, I have mine ready to submit as well, and I'm like, I wonder what Sal's got. Am I able to tip a pick here?
Well, no, because I have not down that far yet. Because I really want to do thorough research. I'm actually
like it.
I think my big issue right now is at 5. I've gone 10 different times, different ways with Jacksonville because of all the reports coming.
Oh, I love
you
that.
Know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there reading all these different people. I'm going to Jacksonville media and fan boards, and what are they looking at? What are they thinking? Well, what are you hearing out of Jacksonville? I think it's such a wild card, as Adam Schefter wrote yesterday on ESPN, which is right. Such a wild card with Jacksonville. Could they go Genty? Could they go offensive tackle? Could they go Mason Graham? I think that's really kind of the pivot point for how everything else falls.
And it's been fun with them. Fun. It's actually been more frustrating because they're taking the Rams style of doing things. They don't do top 30 visits. So you can't even decide
right.
They're looking at this position a ton. You have no idea. I mean, I think that's kind of why a lot of us have maybe talked receiver more, is because the Bills have brought mm-hmm. in a lot of receivers. Now, to me and Derek, we talked about this. Their quote-unquote draft grades might be, you know, day two, maybe even day three guys, but they've brought a lot in. You can't even do that with Jacksonville. You have no idea.
And the guys, right, the guys that the Bills brought in at wide receiver, I think speaks to and tells you a story that they're interested in adding a wide receiver, but from that group, it's more of a day three position. That's what I've always felt. I'd be stunned if the Bills take a wide receiver in day one or two. I really would. I mean, sure enough, a guy could fall down that far that they love, but I'd be surprised because to me, it's always seemed like they want a guy that specifically fits what they don't have as a skill set, which might be stretching the field or more speed. That doesn't have to be an early guy. That could be a guy that can develop into more of a well-rounded football player, but maybe early on in his career, he can help you with different, you know, kind of like a Marquez Stevenson back a few years ago. Yeah, remember him?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the kind of comparison I'd give to maybe how you want to look at what they need at wide receiver right now with a guy that can really burn and really fly, and can he contribute early on as we're trying to get him to be more well-rounded?
That does seem to be a yearly issue for the Bills. Adding speed, adding a downfield burner. It feels like they've had that problem maybe since John Brown started to hit a little bit of the downspin of his career. Sal, last thing for me here before we let you go get set up and ready for what I would assume is going to be a long, busy day at One Bills Drive. Don't have to tip the pick. Doesn't have to be the guy you think is going to go at 30, but do you have a draft crush you'd love to see on the Bills?
Yeah, I think at 30, Derek Harmon is one of those guys. You know who I really like? I like Darian Porter. I like Darian Porter a lot, the cornerback from Iowa State. Mm-hmm. I think that he would fit a lot of the traits. He's long. He's athletic. I really like him. He reminds me a lot of Tariq Woolen, and I think other people have made that comparison, but I thought so as well. And I actually, that was a guy, Tariq Woolen, I loved when he came out of the draft. I thought he was perfect fit for the Bills. They didn't draft him, and he's turned out to have a really nice career, obviously. It's been a little inconsistent at times, but that's a guy that I really like that I think could fit the Bills for sure.
All right, Sal. Thank you so much, sir. Set up, enjoy the day, and we'll be listening.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Darian Porter, he's a guy I've thought about a lot in the second round, too. I mean, Hairston has maybe become my favorite idea in the first round if they go corner, the guy out of Kentucky.
Hairston does seem like the top prospect of the second wave of corners.
Yeah.
And I think Porter's going to be available within the second round. I do think if the Bills don't go corner in round one, Porter would be a great trade-up candidate in the second round.
They did bring him on a top 30 visit. They definitely met with him. I can't. Yes. I can never get it together if it's they Zoom meeting with him. They did a private workout. He fully came in. I can't keep it straight. But they definitely met with him.
He's on their radar, and that's the thing. I suspect there might be a good opportunity here, though, for maybe you go ahead and you get to move up in round two, because that's where your ammunition is really going to work for you is in round two.
And Sal also brought this up too. But
if you say you get a Kenneth Grant, like we chalked it up, that means corner is something you're going to need to go up and get. That means that there's probably Siobhan Revelle or Darian Porter or Benjamin Morrison available in round two. And if you sit there at, I think it's what, 56?
I believe it's 56.
Yep. If you sit there at 56, it's not going to fall your way. You're going to have to go up and get it. And I do think that that's where they're going to do that. They will take 56. They'll take a couple of those fifths, probably have to throw in a fourth, move your way up, and get the corner that you need to finalize how your day one and day two are going to go. You let 62 be 62, and you go from there.
Sal also brought this up, talking about maybe what the Bills' quote-unquote dream need would be or want. One tech, big guy, run stuffer. I wonder how high they are on Tylaik Williams. He's a guy that he's almost definitely will be there at 30.
Williams, like Grant and Darius Alexander for me from Toledo, those are guys that are their fringe 1-2.
Yeah.
Like the fringe first round, early second round. If they don't get taken by, for example, Buffalo, that's how they're going to fall.
Yeah. I when he said that, I was like, ooh, Tylaik Williams might be the least sexiest pick the Bills could make.
But it's also a strong one.
But I think he has a higher floor than Kenneth Grant. Maybe not the highest potential, but he would come in and be exactly what I talked about for potentially what could be one of their great players at Oliver in the interior. He could really help them out. I know Ben Solak of ESPN is a big fan of his. 803-0550, the number two call. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at noon.
But by the way, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card.
For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th hole and golf course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf because, well, wayward hits happen. But you can also score deals with Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of your proceeds benefit PJ Hope, and you can get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com.
Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Tuesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Today's show, of course, is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We mentioned it in hour number one. We got a lot of playoff action tonight. Four games in the NHL. The first one starting at 6, Derek. Devils, Hurricanes.
I do like how they bracketed it. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. We said it earlier. I love how they structured tonight's games. I've got one last thing to say about the draft before Thursday night, and it's this. I am super excited for the bevy of options that are going to happen, not just with the Bills at 30, but even up at the front of the draft. There are plenty of ways that there could be mystique or intrigue, and we are right at the doorstep. Let's get this going. I can't wait for Thursday night.
Got two more days. The draft will start on Thursday, round one at least. We'll start on Thursday, 8 p.m. in Green Bay. Our coverage here on WGR will get going an hour before that at 7 following Shope and the Bulldog.
With yours truly, both of us, and Nate Geary.
And Nate Geary along the way. Well, that'll be it for us. Coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.